talked about.
You gotta put it in perspective.
All right, we're gonna do it once more. And this time, no mistakes. 1, 2, 3, 4.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
It's breakfast time. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. Pancakes and syrup. It's breakfast time.
And now, my vagina ain't handicapped. Vagina ain't handicapped. So what, I can't walk. My vagina ain't handicapped.
Our feature presentation.
I accidentally let the playlist for my phone go on the air. What happened?
I was going to say, is this what you fall asleep to?
That's Bean's greatest hits right there.
Wow.
It's good stuff. Hey, welcome into yet another all-new Kevin and Bean show, this time for a Wednesday, the 12th of October. Hey, Alan McKay.
Hey, Bean.
I'm going to be honest when I tell you, and I know you're with me on this, that the seventh inning of yesterday's Dodgers game aged me about a year.
Yeah.
It was a nail biter.
It was a pucker, for sure.
It was definitely a pucker.
Butthole pucker.
I don't get people who don't love baseball. I don't get it. I don't know how you're a sports fan.
Yeah.
And have the ability to not watch that.
Between that game and the Cubs, past couple Cubs games.
Yes.
I mean, they've been turning it up for these playoffs.
They really have.
Sure.
It's weird that both of the American League series were sweeps, and then both of the National League series have just been unbelievable. So close. So much back and forth.
Yeah.
And look, we love Clayton Kershaw. Who doesn't? He's a great guy, a great American, one of the best pitchers that ever lived. He was one strike away from winning that, from being the winner of that game.
Yeah.
And then just one thing after another happened. And I'm not one of these fans who complains about the umpiring.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like those who did yesterday were justified.
Absolutely. Between the Puig check swing. Come on. I'm still mad.
I don't know how many times Clayton had to strike out Bryce Howard.
Right.
Not Bryce Howard at all. Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
Bryce Howard may have been watching the game, but she was not in the game. But
she was there.
It seemed like it was a 40-pitch at-bat. It seemed like he just kept striking about over and over and over again. And every time, the ump would be like, nope, nope, nope.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I was just so sad seeing him in the dugout with his head in his hands. And just he couldn't believe. He felt so bad about what happened.
So instead of winning for Vin, we need to win this for Clayton.
We really do.
It's not as great of a hashtag.
No, it's not.
But we'll work on it.
But it was sure exciting. And God bless Chase Utley for
oh my God,
getting that hit in the eighth when you needed it.
Clutch.
And then what's his name comes on and just closes it down in the ninth. And it was just Jansen, just so great. I mean, very exciting. And a day off that's deserved today for travel.
Mm-hmm.
And then back at it tomorrow. Actually, I have a story to get us started from a Dodgers fan. You'll love this. We don't know his real name. His Twitter name is The Amity. The Amity. And he goes by Dolphin Pilot. That's what his name is on Twitter. He made a bet at the beginning of the season against Joe Blanton. This was just him, not against any. He wasn't making the bet with a friend or a fan. He just on Twitter said about Joe Blanton, because he is not a fan of his, that he would fail to pitch 75 innings and would not have an ERA under the league average. Very bizarre thing for somebody
it's
to tweet
very
out.
Specific.
Yes. So after the Dodgers signed him, that's what this guy put on Twitter. He said, if he fails to pitch, if he pitches more than 75 innings and maintains the league average ERA, I will eat one of everything at Dodger Stadium in the same day.
Oh, no.
Muggs, do I have your attention?
That is awesome.
Does he need a partner?
Well, he did do all of those things. He had a 2.48 ERA. He pitched over 80 innings.
Wow.
So on Monday in Game 3 of the National League Division Series, this fan went to Dodger Stadium and ordered one of everything on the menu. By the way, he took out a GoFundMe to get the money for it.
I was going to say, he must be loaded if he paid for all that food.
Right? I don't know what the total amount was, but the GoFundMe, he asked for $450.
So it sounds to me like he probably figured out that's about what it would cost to get one of everything on the menu. Wow.
I don't think that would barely cover it.
No, not at
all.
Not
even.
Maybe in the 70s.
Yeah.
Really? $450
oh,
not enough for one
no.
of everything? He described it as being fries, more fries, seafood, burgers, chicken, and a lifetime supply of sodium. But he did it, and he tweeted throughout the day. He was there in the stands on Game 3, and he was just tweeting photo after photo of him. Here he is eating the shrimp with the fries, and here he is eating the burger with the fries. And he just went on and on and on. And he says he accomplished it.
Oh. Is he a svelte guy?
He looks okay. I mean, he's not beer mug fat. But
how dare you?
Here's one tweet. Almost done with the meats. Gonna spread the fries throughout the rest of the game.
Oh.
His last tweet at the end of the game was, when I die, most likely from kidney failure from all the salt I ate, please feel free to visit me in heaven.
Oh, so, man.
I mean, when you make a boast like that on Twitter, I mean, you're not really betting with somebody. I feel like you don't have to follow through.
I wonder if people were calling him out on it.
Yeah, maybe so.
That's the only thing. Otherwise, what an upstanding guy. Because he could have just deleted that tweet and been like, go Dodgers.
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, it's like that guy from a couple months ago. Remember who made it some sort of sports bet and ended up having to eat a sock? Remember that dude?
Oh, gross.
Or a t-shirt or something, like some piece of clothing that he cooked up and ate. People do dumb things when it comes to sports. But
men.
Anyway, yeah, all, exclusively men. So Muggs, I don't know. It sounds like that's a challenge, man. If he can do it, I feel like you can do it.
Well, the thing is I bet money on sports.
Mm-hmm.
And a food challenge is rewarding to me.
Yeah, that's good.
True.
You want to lose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
Plus, you would have eaten one of everything on the menu if you were at the game anyway.
Exactly. That's a normal day at the game.
All right, let's take a look at today's all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
I wish my radio worked.
Well, I do too, sir, because you're going to miss a lot if you're not here with us today. First of all, we're going to give away some more of those front-of-the-line passes for Not Scary Farm, 'Tis the Season. And that's going to be right around 8:20 or so. We're going to be looking for your calls. We've had a lot of fun doing this with various giveaways recently where we're going to be looking for your fan songs on why you want to go to Not Scary Farm. Or it can be a fan song about Halloween, right?
Mm-hmm. Anything you want.
Yeah, really anything you want related to the topic. So that'll be front of the line. Not Scary Farm passes around 8:20. So you've got plenty of time to work on your song. It can be a parody song of something you already know, or you can make up your own original song. That's fine, too.
Don't feel bad if it's awful.
Awful,
we love
where,
that.
That's our lane
yeah.
right there. Alex Jones from Infowars.com is perhaps America's greatest living broadcaster. And I will tell you that he seems to be the only one mm-hmm. in many cases who's getting to the bottom of what's really going on in this election season.
He is digging deep.
And I think you're going to enjoy very much what he's got to bring us today. Ronald McDonald is laying low because of scary clowns. We'll discuss that. Speaking of mugs eating, today's the day for the one chip challenge.
That's
yes.
It. The hottest tortilla chip, I believe.
I think you're right.
In the world.
It's made with the famous Carolina Reaper, which is the hottest pepper in the world. And mugs, for the record, on tape, please. No one is forcing you to eat it.
No one is forcing me to eat it.
You are voluntarily requesting the opportunity to eat it.
I have voluntarily requested to eat it.
Thank you, sir. May I have another? Got some two eyeballs on the show today. We've heard your demands. And the former governor of the great state of Minnesota, Jesse Ventura, who is one of the most entertaining yet crazy guests we ever have, is back on the show with yet another new book. So we'll talk to him. That's all coming up. Plus, Ralph's got the showbiz beat next right after this on K-Rock. Once again, today on the Kevin and Bean Show, we got your tickets for Green Day, including like 20 minutes from right now. We'll hook you up with tickets for the Palladium. Also a chance to see them right here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space on October the 19th. You get the details at K-Rock.com. It's stand by to win in minutes. Hey, Ralph Garman.
Hello, boys and girls.
What's going on for Wednesday, dude?
Well, let's take a look at the showbiz beat. As speculated yesterday, we were talking a little bit about Billy Bush and his future with NBC. He will not be coming back to NBC. According to The Hollywood Reporter yesterday, he is in the process of negotiating his exit from the network. I'm guessing it's the other way around. I think the network is probably negotiating his exit. Of course, Billy is now forever identified with that misogynistic videotape with Donald Trump on the Access Hollywood bus. And word is And this is a big part of why I think the Today Show specifically and NBC in general is cutting him loose. Hollywood publicists don't want their female clients interviewed by him. Wonder why. Because maybe he'll try to pimp them out to someone.
Seriously.
Hey, how about a hug? Hey, how about a hug?
Bushy.
What's up for Bushy?
A hug for Bushy. So, they'll probably cut him a check and cut him loose. Then the question is, who would hire him?
Yeah.
And will he ever be in demand again? Will America's famously short memory actually kick in a couple years and we'll see him on the Good Morning America or something? Who knows?
I mean, you know, Brian Williams is working again. He's
very different thing,
MSNBC.
Though. Brian, I know, had some had a casual relationship with the truth. And they cut him loose, but then they sort of eased him back in with softball stuff and everything. They sort of made him, I think he's so viable as a TV presenter. How can you ever see Billy Bush again on television without your mind immediately going, ugh?
Yeah. And what he does is interview celebrities. So if people don't want to be interviewed by him, that's...
They should send him into Syria or something.
Yes. Some hard embed him somewhere.
Yeah. So, see ya, Bushy. No hugs for Bushy.
Aw.
David Mandel, by the way, the guy who's who runs Veep, said, Billy Bush leaving NBC, it's almost worth a Trump presidency. So, I think he's got a point, because Billy Bush is awful. Here's a good idea. Finally, a reality show I can get behind. Probably because, you know, I'm still a child deep inside. ABC just announced a new reality competition series about people who come up with new ideas for toys.
Oh, like they build them and everything right there?
The design. They will design new toys that they think that kids would like. It's called the Toy Box. It'll be hosted by Eric Stone Street, our buddy from Modern Family. And people will come on there who have ideas for new toys. It's like Shark Tank.
Shark Tank for toys.
But for toys. And the judges will be a panel of kids.
Come on.
Who will, of course, play with the new toys, and then they'll say, yeah, this is the best one. And each week, they will pick a winner.
How great is that?
Apparently, Mattel's involved, and the winners of the competition, I don't know whether it's at the end or every week, will eventually be developed by Mattel into their new line of toys.
That's so this gives us an opportunity to see the blockbuster movies of tomorrow ahead of time.
There you go. I always thought design toys would be a great gig.
That's an actual good, fresh idea.
Right?
And somebody at ABC said, we'll do it.
That's what I'm saying. So I'm looking forward to that. That should be pretty cool.
I like it.
I like it, too. Kevin Hart. Maybe one of the most popular stars in comedy and on the big screen. But, you know, he's also in insane shape. I don't know if you've seen his workout. He does the CrossFit and everything else, too. He runs between 2 and 3 miles a day. So, F you, Kevin Hart.
On purpose?
Yes.
He doesn't have a car?
He does have a car.
Someone's chasing him?
Nope. He's just running for health.
Huh.
And he said he hopes to lead by example, and he hopes everyone will get out and be the highest level of you. And he hopes that his obsession with fitness becomes contagious.
Shut up.
Yeah, I don't think there's any chance of that happening. He just competed in a 199-mile race last August.
What?
You heard me.
What?
199 miles.
Stop it, okay? Stop it.
Of what?
A pussy, by the way. A real man would have ran 200.
Stop
right?
it.
200 miles. That's what a man does. 199. I'm going to stop now. Ugh, pussy. Right?
Huh.
Yeah.
I think I could walk 199 miles if I had the next 5 years.
I would walk 5,000 miles.
Oh, God.
In fact, I would walk 5,000 more.
Really?
Just to be the man.
However, the rest of that's all this. I think it was 500 miles, by the way.
Oh, okay. I would walk 500 miles.
Ralph did the remix.
And I would walk 500 more just to be the man who walked a 500 miles. To fall down at your door. La-da-da-da-da.
La-da-da-da.
La-da-da-da-da.
You see that? You see how white people do?
Today's celebrity birthday is Hugh Jackman. Right?
Speaking of guys who are in ridiculously good shape.
Not anymore.
Oh, is he flabbed out?
Oh, he's huge now.
He beamed it?
Fat.
That's fantastic.
Fat. No, I'm kidding. He's still amazing. But he's done with the Wolverine movies. He just finished his last Wolverine movie, so I don't think he has to do that to himself anymore.
Well, I don't know what other kinds of roles he can get with those weird fingers of his. I mean, it seems like he's pretty much limited to just being able to play that character.
The Wolverine role.
Can't play the president or something like that. You've got all those claws in your fingers.
It's just a movie.
Yeah, boys and girls, it is the first Showbiz Beat. just reminding you, it's going to be a long freaking day. Kirk Cameron. Oh, Kirk Cameron. God build a banana. Just for you, Kirk.
He called me once.
I'm sorry, what happened?
He called me once.
What did he call you?
Cameron.
Did he call you a devil worshiper? Did he call you...
He was doing a movie where he was a heart surgeon. It was like a Freaky Friday movie.
Uh-huh.
And my dad was at the hospital that day when he was doing a little consulting type of thing.
Right. He was shadowing your dad to get some research?
Apparently. And my dad said, hey, my daughter's a huge Kirk Cameron fan. Will you call her? And he did. And then he got real weird.
Exciting story.
Thank you.
Did he say a prayer for you?
Did I add anything to that birthday? First Showbiz.
So much. Just reminding everyone, it's the first Showbiz beat of the day. This is the first one. It's going to get worse.
Listen, it wasn't a great story.
Really?
I will not do it.
Because I'm bidding on the movie rights. Right?
Who's with me?
Yeah. We all are.
Right?
Kirk Cameron's 46 today, and actor Josh Hutcherson celebrates his 24th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the Showbiz Beat.
Right?
Wow.
Right. Hey, Jesse Ventura joins us at 7 o'clock this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Also, we're giving away those tickets for the front of the line passes for Not Scary Farm. And more Green Day tickets coming up. Congratulations to Jason Nordquist from Thousand Oaks. He just won those for this hour. Allie, what's your go-to news source when you want to find out what's going on in the world?
Oh, InfoWars.
That's the only right answer. These days, especially as partisan as the country is, even more so as we get closer to the election, more and more people are saying, man, I don't want to watch CNN because they're goddamn liberals, or I'm not going to watch Fox News because I don't want to be like Bean's dad. But if you're looking for a place that you're going to get unfiltered and completely fair and balanced, not just words, but for reals, fair and balanced, mm-hmm. Alex Jones from InfoWars.com is the way to go.
Yeah.
You can't ever tell what side this guy's on because he's just giving it to you straight, and he's made some headlines this week with something that he has uncovered, and I think you guys will enjoy it.
I'm never a lesser of two evils person, but with Hillary, there's not even the same universe. I mean, she is an abject, psychopathic demon from hell that as soon as she gets into power is going to try to destroy the planet. I'm sure of that, and people around her say she's so dark now and so evil and so possessed that they are having nightmares, they're freaking out. Folks, let me just tell you something. If the media wants to go with this, that's fine.
So far, he's just speaking truth to power, right?
Well, yeah. People around her are having nightmares, and that's
because
something,
she's so dark.
Yeah, we need to address.
Indisputable, right.
There are dozens of videos and photos of Obama having flies land on him indoors at all times of year, and he'll be next to 100 people, and no one has flies on him.
Wait, what? What?
Hillary, reportedly. I mean, I was told people around her that they think she's demon-possessed, okay? I'm just going to go ahead and say it, okay? They said they're scared. That's why when I see her when kids are by her, I actually get scared myself for the child. I mean, you that big rubber face and that. I mean, this woman is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. I'm telling you, this is disgusting with flies all over, big fat stinking. Imagine how bad she smells, man. I'm told her and Obama just stink, 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 stink. You can't wash that evil off, man. I'm told there's a rotten smell around Hillary. I'm not kidding. People say, they say, folks, I've been told this. By high up folks, they say, listen,
right.
Obama and Hillary both smell like sulfur.
Okay.
Sulfur.
I never said this because the media go crazy with it, but I've talked to people that are in protective details.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're scared of her. And they say, listen, she's a freaking demon and she stinks and so does Obama. And I go, like what? Sulfur. They smell like hell.
I mean, look, you can't argue. You can't argue with the man. He knows what he's talking about.
People have told him.
He's got the facts. Yeah. Alex Jones, welcome back to the Kevin Beach Show, my friend. How are you?
Glad to hear you guys are finally talking the truth and getting the truth out there and letting people decide on the issues of the day and
exactly.
Not some ridiculousness that you guys, some agenda that you people are trying to put out there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no time, especially this close to the election, for partisanship. We need somebody like you who's just a beacon of truth and justice and tells it the way it is.
That's right. Let's deal with the real concerns of the American people, which is is a Satan-possessed demon spawn president going to destroy the world once he gets in the office? And, of course, the answer is yes.
It did sound like yes.
Alex, now, I have to say, I never thought about this, but a fly did land on her at the last town hall debate.
Exactly. No other flies anywhere else in the building, but they come to her because she smells like hell. She smells like sulfur, like rotting flesh, because, let's face it, we've known this for a while now. She is dead. She is dead, and there is just a demon spirit inside her that's keeping the machine moving. Mm-hmm. That's why she passed out at that 9/11 memorial. It's because she is actually a corpse that has been possessed by a demon, and now the rotting flesh is starting to attract flies. It's just science.
And when you bring up the rubber face in that clip that we just played, this is part of the double, the Hillary double that is being trotted out to special events, right?
No, absolutely not. This is the lifeless face that is so hard for the demon to operate, I believe. From the inside. Okay. It's like, you remember Men in Black, how those little creatures would live inside the body and it would sometimes the face would malfunction? That's exactly what's happening now, because the demon is living inside of her, trying to manipulate the face and the arms and the legs. Must take an enormous amount of power, even for a Satan demon.
Yeah, it's like puppetry, but even more serious.
Right. Exactly. Well put.
Now, I have to ask, Alice, because...
Tree, but even more serious.
She did say that, yes.
In my new article on InfoWars.
I do have to ask, because a lot of people, you know, for instance, when the moon landing conspiracy comes up, there are those who will say, well, how do you get that many people in on a conspiracy? Clearly somebody's going to spill the beans. How are thousands of people meeting Secretary Clinton every day, yet nobody else is going to the media and reporting on this sulfur smell?
Apparently you didn't listen to my broadcast, but I told you people around her are saying they smell. I've been talking to the protective details, and they say they stink like sulfur and hell. People are saying that. Lots of people are saying that.
But the other media won't report it.
Exactly. And lots of people are not reporting also that Tim Kaine, her running mate, her co-Satan demon, if you will, is actually one of those worms from Tremors.
Oh, no kidding. Really?
Yeah, a lot of people are not reporting that, but he will actually travel underground and then pop up out of the ground and try to swallow people whole. And the only way is to confuse him with dynamite.
That sounds like a dangerous choice come November.
However, Mike Pence is a unicorn, which is good to know.
Oh.
He is actually a unicorn inside of a human body. And Mike is great, and he poops custard. So if you ever want a delicious frozen treat, just put a bowl right there down by his anus.
Well, I did not know that's where custard came from.
Did you see that commercial for the pooping thing? Yeah, that's science.
Okay.
Trump,
science,
of course, is a leprechaun. That's the best thing about
President Trump. Trump is a leprechaun?
He's a leprechaun. He is magical. Mm-hmm. He's magically delicious. And he can actually just make things happen. You know, he says he's going to defeat ISIS. Mm-hmm. And he's going to lower taxes. He doesn't really have any plans.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He doesn't need them because he's magic. He's magic. He's going to wave his clover, and then all things will come to pass. Unfortunately, because he's a star, he will grab your pot of gold without asking. That's the only thing.
Allie, you ready for some Afro calls?
I am.
We always appreciate it when you pick up the phone and call us anytime, day or night. It's our 24-hour voicemail at 323-520-AFRO. A lot of people leave very constructive comments on the show. You know, a few days ago we did Beer Mug Theater, where we spoke with Muggs as his alter ego, Johnny Chicago.
Sure.
And I believe the listeners called him about that first up.
So I'm listening to the show the other day, and, you know, I hear Beer Mug Theater and Johnny Chicago, and it just struck me, you know. That's the arts right there. Laughter, sad, cry.
I'm not an actor, but comedic-wise, like, I mean, you take serious roles, comedic roles, but... I mean, that's the arts right there, you know, laughter, sad, cry, everything.
I mean, he summed it right up, didn't he?
Nailed it.
Speaking of Muggs, how long have you been married now, Beer Mug?
It's been one week. Damn it.
It sounded like
it's been
that.
1 week.
It's been 1 week since Muggs got married.
Really? You got married on a Wednesday?
Well, a week and a half.
It's been like 3 weeks. Just to let you know.
Have you already forgotten your wedding
date? Has it been 3 weeks?
It has been a couple weekends have gone by since your wedding.
Yeah, I feel like it's been at least 2.5 weeks. Well, a listener is calling to bring up the ugly for some, but enjoyable for the rest of us, the fact that Kevin's plan when he went to your wedding and reception was to nail your mom, and that's what this call's about.
Yeah, Kevin Ryder. Mama Mugger. Yeah,
that's got to be rough for you to hear, Muggs.
Yeah.
I didn't hear this. I was on vacation, but apparently you guys did an interview where you talked to a flea. Is that right, Allie?
A flea?
A flea with a large penis?
Oh, we did. I must have blacked out.
I'm sorry I missed that interview, but this this caller has a question about it.
Hey, Allie, I just heard your interview with the flea with the big penis, mm-hmm. and I have to say, the longer the interview went on, the more he seemed to get ticked off. Woo! Ticked off. See, because he's a flea. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I see what he did.
Right.
Yeah.
Will we allow it?
No. If you don't allow me to do it, you can't allow him to do it.
All right. Okay. Fair enough. The Raiders find themselves in the unusual position of being in first place after 5 weeks of football. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Raiders fans are going crazy and frequently calling the Afro line to express their excitement.
Raiders! Raiders! Raiders, baby.
That is a commitment to being annoying, is what that is. I'm not sure what's really happening on this call.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's all over my mouth. Oh, God, these chili cheese fries are freaking amazing.
Hmm. And I don't, I don't know what's happening here either.
Allie McKay. She's a farter. Chip, mark that.
Guy's doing his own show or something?
What's happening over there?
Here's a listener who is trying to improve the most magical month of the year, which is, of course, Rocktober.
It's not Rocktober. It's Guoctober. Uh-huh. Yeah? Yeah? Give me some guacamole on Guoctober.
I think no.
I support it.
Really?
I support all things guac, yeah.
Here's a listener, Allie, who I believe needs your help coming up with a name.
Oh, sure.
Hey, I was wondering if you guys could help me with something. I was listening to the radio, and I can't think of this artist's name. The song was Poker Face.
Lady Gaga! Lady Gaga!
I think she wore a meat dress.
Lady Gaga!
Like maybe spikes on her shoulders.
Lady Gaga!
I think she's from Jersey.
Lady Gaga!
I don't know. Maybe you guys can help.
Lady Gaga!
Let me know if you think of it.
Listen, if people don't know what that's from, Ralph was doing one of his, okay, name the person, and none of us were coming up with it. And then I finally realized the answer was Lady Gaga. And I was so excited. And wow, that's hard to listen to.
It sure is. It sure is. That does sound like a crazy lady, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
We're going through the Kevin and Bean Afro line right now at 323-520-AFRO. Hey, look who called back for this call.
Touchdown Raiders! Raiders!
Okay.
Raiders!
Okay, we got it.
That's right, baby.
Yep.
Okay, we got it. I'm not sure we needed this.
Poopy pants. Poopy pants. Got poopy in my pants. I'm a poopy pants. Got poopy in my hands. I'm a poopy hand man.
That's a good use of the Afro line.
I don't know.
Let's see if we can take care of this one. I think this listener is calling on behalf of many who are listening with this special request.
I want to hear a mashup of Kevin's porn music and Beer Mugs and Allie's mashup.
No,
I got to hear it.
No one
smell
needs it.
Ladies and gentlemen, just as good as I remember it.
Oh yeah.
I'm so glad I'm starting my diet tomorrow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's so good.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Smell it.
No one.
Oh, it was horrible.
Smell it. 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 Smell it.
Smell it.
You can call the Kevin and Bean Afro line anytime, 24 hours a day, 323-520-AFRO. We'll be right back with Ralph and the Showbiz Beat coming up on camera. Governor Jesse Ventura.
Oh, my God.
What? What happened? What now?
Mugs just did an interpretive dance at the end of that. Oh, God. Yeah. This is bad.
A little too excited for that song?
A bit.
Governor Jesse Ventura joins us coming up right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. Don't forget, we are still looking for your songs if you want to win the Not Scary Farm front of line passes, too. We're looking for your song about Not Scary Farm or about Halloween or why you want to go or how you want to go or what you love about the holiday. Around 8:20 or so, we'll be taking your calls. So if you want to get those together, it can be a parody song or it can be something original. You can rap it. You can sing it. Whatever you want to do. And, Allie, what was your reminder earlier when we talked about this?
If you don't have a great voice or maybe you don't have the best lyrics, still call in.
Yeah.
Please.
We love
mostly.
The bad. We love the bad. So that'll be at 8:20 this morning for Front of the Line passes for Not Scary Farm. Get your songs together. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday.
I don't think they're referred to as Front of Line passes. I don't think.
I think they're Fright Line.
Fright Line.
I'm trying to get Bean to say it. That you?
Sorry. Wow.
The worst.
It's actually Fright Lane.
Fright Lane, oh. Bean. Fright Lane.
Fright Lane.
Get the
okay.
Fright Lane.
Noted.
Sorry, Ralph.
Ugh. I miss Kevin. I wish he wasn't dead.
I think he's okay. I think he'll be back tomorrow.
Okay. All right. Must be nice to live in that fantasy world of yours. Oh, this clown. What are we going to do about the clownpocalypse? What are we going to do? All this time we were worried about zombies, and now it's the clowns we had to worry about.
Well, clown lives matter, so be careful what you say here.
I'm saying open season on clowns.
Oh, no.
Right?
But what about the good ones?
What about the good clowns? Listen, we don't know what we're dealing with here, okay? So we have to take out all the clowns until we can do extreme vetting, is what it's called.
Uh-huh.
And that's how we find the good clowns from the bad clowns.
Do you think it'll work?
It's because it's not just the U.S. anymore.
Oh,
now, no. Now in Australia. It's becoming an international problem.
Oh.
A woman in Brisbane told police that she was chased by a clown holding a knife. In New Zealand, a woman who's 22 was attacked by two clowns. Police in both countries are warning people against dressing as clowns.
Well, I feel like those are actual real threats. Things are happening. But
that's
here, people
it's
are
escalating.
Just seeing.
Right now, what's the next step?
I'm just saying we're bad at
next
it
step,
if we
giant
can't.
Giant mallets and seltzer bottles full of...
Nope.
Acid.
Okay.
Just saying, it's going to be... we got to step it up now.
Okay.
Who's with me? Let's go on clown patrol.
I don't know.
Let's get a little car and pack a bunch of us into it with weapons. And then we'll pull up and then we'll all run out.
Uh-huh.
We'll keep coming and a lot of us will keep coming out
right.
of it.
How is
in
this?
Brisbane, can you imagine? The clown holding a knife.
No.
That's not a knife. This is a knife, said the clown. In Brisbane, wasn't going to let Bean ruin it. I wasn't. Right, Muggs? I just kept trucking.
I just kept
putting my head down. I kept pushing through that line.
Dedicate.
Keep your legs turning. That's what they tell you.
Hey, I stood down, man.
You did.
I did.
You did everything but throw a hand grenade in the middle of that joke.
How dare you?
How dare you, sir?
But in all seriousness.
Oh.
What's it like for the Juggalos right now? Is this terrible for them? Like,
yeah.
what's the insane clown controversy doing about this?
It's true, because they're real concerned what people think about them.
It's right. True.
They're very sensitive.
Yeah.
And I'm sure their feelings are hurt.
They've been blogging a lot,
have
just
they?
Really
they
talking it out.
A lot of prayer circles?
Yeah. It's very serious.
Because, you know, their public persona up to this point was so
golden.
Squeaky clean.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope the Juggalos aren't upset. Come on, man. Come on.
I'm just saying.
I wonder when the Juggalos move to a new city if they have to go get their stuff. Or whether they... Speaking of embarrassing questions, being asked Tyler Hoechlin yesterday. Ratings are in for Supergirl. It's good news, bad news kind of situation.
Oh.
Now, Supergirl moved to CBS, from CBS to its sister network, the CW.
Mm-hmm.
And people were wondering how the ratings would translate. Well, it's bad news, but it's good news. For example, the season finale on CBS, the first season, pulled in 6.1 million viewers.
Okay.
Only 3 million people watched the season premiere on the CW.
Okay.
So that's half the audience. But, and now this is important.
All right.
It was up in triple digits over the last show in that same time slot for the CW. And it was the most watched show in the Monday at 8 p.m. time slot for the CW in nearly 8 years. So big win for the CW.
There's no lead-in for any show on the CW at 8 o'clock. So that's amazing.
Right. So it's good.
Yeah.
Sort of. in a way.
Well, I think it is good because if it were still on CBS, they'd already be talking about canceling it. And on CW, they're happy to have it, so it looks like we'll have a lot more Supergirls.
In terms of CW, it's a hit. In terms of CBS, it wasn't so much. So it's all relative. Anyway, looks like we're going to have Supergirl for a while.
Yay.
And Superman, too, right?
Right.
He's dreamy. Oh, right?
Here, Rob, I'm going to ask this.
Get to his Fortress of Solitude.
Hold on,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I do.
I like that. I'd like to put my kryptonite.
Nope.
Okay.
I don't think so.
Hey, can I ask this question because it's back in the news? Because
are you still here?
Yes, because Miley Cyrus brought it up this weekend, and I know you'll know the answer to this because it's been asked many times in the past. Why does Superboy grow up to be Superman, or does he not? Are they two different people?
There are both, but there are both versions. They, in the originally, Superboy was the adventures of a young Superman, and then later on in the comics, in other incarnations, as they rebooted and retconned the story characters, there was a separate Superboy from Superman. It was a separate character.
Then why is Supergirl always Supergirl, no matter when she ages into womanhood? Why does she never become Superwoman?
There's already a Superwoman character.
There is a Superwoman.
Yes, so they can't have two Superwomen, can they?
Why have I never heard of Superwoman?
I don't know, Bean. Why do you do a lot of the things you do? I got no answers for you.
Well, I feel like Supergirl gets all the press, and you never hear about Superwoman.
Well, I would draft a strongly worded letter, I think, if I were you, and I would contact the
answer was not satisfying to me.
What did you want the answer to be? I gave you the exact reason.
I think he was expecting something like patriarchy. Something like that,
right.
Maybe.
Fight the patriarchy. Yeah. Sure. Today's celebrity birthday is Josh Hutcherson. He's 24 years old today. He's from The Hunger Games, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's dreamy. Kirk Cameron is 46 years old today. Allie, you ever had any contact with Kirk Cameron?
Thank you for asking. My dad had him. Okay.
And Hugh Jackman turns 48 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Keep on listening to K-Rock for your chance to win two Green Day concerts October 17th at the Hollywood Palladium and here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space on the 19th. You can get the details at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win coming up. And by the way, Allie, we haven't mentioned this yet, but we have a very special guest Monday on the show performing live, the band, the 1975, who I love so much.
Yeah.
So that's happening Monday right here on K-Rock. I'm always excited to talk to our next guest. He is one of my favorites, former Vietnam veteran, Navy SEAL, actor, TV host, radio host, New York Times bestselling author. Oh, he was the governor of Minnesota as well. Great American Jesse Ventura, back on the Kevin DeMean Show. Hey, Governor, how are you, man?
Hi, Bean. Hi, Allie. Great to be here.
I'm serious when I say I always look forward to our opportunity to chat because you are an interesting guy who always brings up stuff and makes me see it in a way I hadn't seen it before. And your new book, when I first saw what it was, Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto, I thought, wow, it seems a little late to be arguing for this. I feel like the tide has already turned and we're kind of heading toward legalization in this country of marijuana. Am I wrong about that?
No, you're not wrong, but we need to keep the heat on. If you don't give up on something until the job's complete.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't stop halfway through. You don't heat up the soup halfway and then let it go cold again.
True.
No, we've got to stay on it because federally, marijuana is still illegal. You could still go to jail virtually anywhere in this country if the federal government were to decide to do that.
Now, I know that you have been a pro-marijuana spokesperson for decades. This has been not a new position for you.
Right.
Has what's happened in states like Washington and Colorado, where they've made it legal statewide, has it ended up playing out the way you expected it would all these years?
Yeah. There's no problems. The states are making money. Let me explain why I'm onto this so heavily now. Someone very close to me developed an epileptic seizure disorder. My quality of life was gone because this person was seizing. And if you've ever dealt with them, even if you're not seizing, it's hell. And so the person went on four different pharmaceutical medications over 2 years. None of them worked. The seizures continued. They all had horrible side effects. Took the person to Colorado, got put on medical, 3 drops under the tongue 3 times a day. The seizures stopped. The person is now completely weaned from all pharmaceutical and has been seizure-free for 2.5 years.
Wow. Now, you're talking about medical marijuana in that case, and I'm wondering...
The point is, all marijuana's medical. The whole plant is a medical plant. And those that smoke it for the euphoric feeling, that's called mental health.
Now, do you think that if marijuana were legal across the country, Jesse, that doctors would prescribe it to people?
Well, they wouldn't have to. You could grow it in your backyard.
Well, then Big Pharma wouldn't make money.
And that's part of the rub. That's why they won't make it illegal. You got to understand government. Government would tax you for the air you breathe if they could.
Well, not only that, if it's made legal, then what are all those people in prison for
exactly.
the slightest infractions going to be doing?
Exactly. They would have to release the people from prison. They're not going to do that. Plus, the federal government profits off keeping it illegal. You got the DEA out there reading my book. I mean, my God, they violate the Constitution. They break into homes. They kill people and then find out they got the wrong address. It's happened multiple times. Nobody goes to jail. Nobody's tried for anything. And like today, you see this militarization of our police forces. It's because of the war on drugs. That's caused this mental attitude of shoot first, ask questions later. And it's all due to the war on drugs, which needs to be ended.
I think some of the most fascinating chapters in your new book, which again is called Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto, and you can meet the governor tomorrow night at the Barnes & Noble in Santa Monica. He'll be signing copies of the book, were your chapters about the industrial prison complex. Now, those are the types of words that I usually hear, and I just roll my eyes as thinking it's not going to be something I'm interested in, or it's going to be too deep or too hard to follow. But you lay out so many things about the prison complex in this country that I was unaware of, including the hundreds of U.S. businesses that use those prisoners for pennies an hour to make the goods that we're buying in the stores. If those prisoners aren't in there because of the change in the drug laws, what happens to our economy? Does it just collapse because now they don't have access to all that cheap labor?
No, you'd have a new industry called marijuana. Look how big the tobacco industry is. Look how big the alcohol industry is. How many jobs are in tobacco and alcohol?
Quite a few.
Hundreds of thousands. You'd have the same thing with marijuana. The same, and it's the least of the three. And people have asked me, okay, Governor, what do I do if you legalize marijuana and I come and catch my 13-year-old with marijuana when it's legal? I look at him and I say, you do what you're supposed to do. It's called parenting. Be a parent.
What do you do when they're with alcohol?
I said, treat the marijuana the same as if you caught that child with tobacco or if you caught that child with alcohol. Mm-hmm. Same thing.
We have a lot of discussion on this topic once again in the state of California because of Prop 64 that's on the ballot next month, which is trying to follow in the footsteps of Colorado. And I heard a police officer on the radio just this morning, Jesse, who was talking about how he pulls over people all the time that are driving stoned, and he knows there will be more fatalities on the road in California if legal marijuana happens here.
Well, do you think they're not out there anyway? And the point being is, okay, let's have the same discussion about texting and talking on the phone. Nobody should be distracted doing anything when you drive a car. That's a two-ton projectile that's capable of going 100 miles an hour. You should be under the influence of nothing. You have 300,000 drunk drivers a day in this country on alcohol. And the point being is you can't necessarily let the price of freedom means you have the freedom to be stupid, and you have to accept that. You can't legislate stupidity. And by keeping marijuana illegal, you still can apply the same rules to it that you apply to tobacco and to alcohol, and apply those rules. We have to act like adults. It's better to treat it like an adult than treat it like we have been. Did you know, let me fire this at you and take this back to your cop, okay? If George Washington and Thomas Jefferson were alive today, they'd be raided by the DEA. They'd be doing 10 to 12 years in the federal penitentiary as major drug dealers. Because marijuana, if we would learn the history of this drug, that's what opened my eyes up doing the research, the history. This was the drug. Marijuana was the backbone of the United States economy for its first 160 years of existence. The Constitution, the Bill of Rights, and Betsy Ross's flag are all made out of marijuana.
By the way, you talk about President Washington and President Jefferson. You also, in your new book, talk about President Bush, President Clinton, President Obama all have admitted to smoking marijuana, yet nobody has up till this point wanted to be a leader on this topic in the national government anyway and kind of pulled the trigger and make it happen.
Well, because they're making money at keeping it illegal. The DEA, they got these seizure laws where they can take your house, they can take your car, and you're guilty till you prove you're innocent. You have to get a lawyer and go into court and get your stuff back. The war on drugs is the biggest failure. My mother, before she died, she was a World War II vet. She told me, a nurse, she told me the war on drugs is identical to the prohibition of alcohol, which she lived through. She said, all you're doing is making criminals rich and powerful.
What's your prediction, Governor? 50 years from now, where will we be on this issue in the United States?
I hope that I've made it my mission that it be legalized in my lifetime, and I don't think I'll be here 50 years from now. So it better happen before I go.
Last question. I was fascinated to see, and you write about this in the book, that you live for a significant amount of the time on the Baja Peninsula down in Mexico, off the grid in a solar-powered house. What are you getting down there that you don't get back home in Minnesota?
Snow.
I've touched whales in the wild.
Is that a euphemism?
No, I'm a boat.
Okay.
But people here off the grid and people here off the grid and solar
hands
power.
In the mouth of a 40-foot whale.
Okay,
that sound safe.
I can't do that in this country.
It's a good
all right. So whales. I guess the answer to that is whales.
Well, no, it just I live a completely different life down there. I live a life down there where everything is within my eyesight is the only thing I worry about.
That's nice. That's got to feel pretty good. To check out. In other words, you're not on Twitter. You're not watching the news.
Well,
you're just...
you need to understand. I've never owned a cell phone.
Okay.
And I've made it my life's mission to be able to put it on my grave. He never owned a cell phone.
Well, at least you stood for something, Governor.
Exactly. And I bet you I'll be the only one on the planet if I live another 20 years.
I think you're right. All right, we're out of time. The book is a fascinating read. We have just scratched the surface on it. If you're interested in the state of America in 2016, you should pick up Jesse Ventura's Marijuana Manifesto. It's available wherever books are sold, and you can meet the governor at Barnes & Noble Santa Monica. That's going to be tomorrow night at 7:30. BarnesandNoble.com for details on that. Always a lot of fun, Jesse. Thanks for jumping on today, man.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, and we'll do it again.
You bet. You're listening to the world-famous K-Rock at 106.7 KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. So, a lot of times listeners will come up to me because I'm so accessible to people.
They just come right on out to the island you were living on?
They just can't. They can't avoid me.
Right.
I'm everywhere all the time, Alice.
Uh-huh.
That's the thing I know about me.
Oh,
and
God.
They'll say, Bean, what's it like to be perfect? What's it like to be so great? What's it like to never have a bad or impure thought? Well, I've got to be honest and tell you that there are times where I do question myself, where I go, what is wrong with me?
Mm-hmm.
And this is the discussion we were having yesterday off the air that I think it may be time to bring on the air, because I do think there is something wrong with me. And I hope that I'm not alone. I hope that there is something wrong with everybody where you find yourself really being annoyed by somebody who's doing something, and there's no reason for it. There's no earthly reason why what they're doing should bug you. It doesn't. It shouldn't affect you in any way.
Mm-hmm.
I'll give you a perfect example, and I may have mentioned this on the air when we were having some conversation earlier in the week. I'm out walking my dogs in the park the other day, and I see a very fit couple exercising in the park.
Okay.
She's jumping rope. He's doing sit-ups. She's running around the track. He's doing push-ups. They're switching off. They're doing all these exercises in the park.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's a public park.
Sure.
It's a beautiful afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
They have every right in the world to be there. There's no reason. They're not hurting anybody. They're not getting in anybody's way. They're not impacting anybody. There's no reason for me to look at them and have any thought at all. But it was so annoying to me. Like, why are these people exercising in the park? It was driving me crazy. What's wrong with me?
Yeah, that's dumb.
It's dumb, right?
Yes.
I mean, that's the thing, is there's no – it doesn't affect me in any way,
right,
negative or positive. So why should I have an opinion on it?
Right.
Okay, so that's thing one. That happened to me. Thing two And I know that there are people who are going to be angry about this, but I'm being honest, and I'm just telling you. There's no reason why this should bother me, but it does. And that's the topic, by the way, at 1-800-520-1067. There's no reason it should bother you, but it does, and you don't know why, and you're willing to admit it. A couple of days ago, I see a woman walking down the street.
Uh-oh.
Holding, rubbing her pregnant belly.
Okay.
Running her hands up and down her pregnant belly.
Okay.
All I can think is stop it.
Wait, that's the end of your story?
That's
she
it.
She didn't kick a puppy?
No, she was just playing with her unborn fetus.
No, right. What she was doing was rubbing her belly, maybe comforting the baby, maybe the baby was kicking, or maybe she was just saying, hey, you and me, we got this.
I don't like it.
It's one of the most beautiful things when I see that. Are you serious?
Nothing beautiful about it. Don't like it.
Oh!
Don't
wrong
like it.
With you?
Gets me angry.
What?
Stop playing with your baby. Your baby hasn't been born. Stop
oh
it.
My God.
Now look.
Wow.
I say that.
Wow.
But I also know that there's no justification for it. I'm
None.
Not coming. I'm not arguing for you. You know, against you, and saying that I'm right. I know I'm wrong.
Oh my God.
I agree with you. It's stupid.
Okay.
But what is it that's going on in the human mind where you see something that has no effect on you and it still bugs the hell out of you? What's going on there?
I get it. I don't get your examples.
Mm-hmm. Well, everybody's gonna have different things.
Sure. I have a couple. One, I recently had to go to a class. Maybe we'll say I had to go to a driving class. And the person right. was
Somebody
writing.
Somebody was trying to not have a point yes. on their license. Is that what's happening here? Okay.
Somebody was writing on the board in one of those, you know, magic markers, whatever. And right. then they'd go to erase it, but they'd leave like two little dots and they'd move on to the next sentence. And I was in my seat furious. Do you not see those two little dots? You didn't erase it fully. What is wrong with you? That man was an animal, and I hated him.
So but, the board could still be easily read. He was erasing 98% of the chalk.
Absolutely.
But it drove you crazy
drove
that he left a little bit behind.
Nuts.
Yeah, that may be OCD, I think, Allie.
It might be. Okay, well, here's another one. When
okay.
people, I tend to be on Twitter quite a bit. It's my social media that I actually enjoy.
Well, it's your replacement for actual friends.
Well, exactly. When people retweet compliments or they quote tweet the compliment and then write back like, oh, thanks, honey, smoochy face, something like that. Like, we get it. Somebody's saying you look good in a picture. Just write back to that person and say thank you. Why do you need everyone that follows you to know that someone thought your hair looked good that day?
So that's a violation of your personal social media rules then?
Well, it's a violation of humanity. We
okay.
get it.
All right. It's Hindenburg-esque for you.
Thank you.
All right. So what's the thing that you have no business being upset by that people do, but for whatever reason, it bugs you? That's what we're talking about at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Heather, because she's got something. She's on line two, Santa Monica. She's got something that's kind of related to my problem with the couple in the park, who, by the way, were so much younger and fitter and better looking than I am, and I'm sure that has something to do with it. But, Heather, what's going on with you?
Hi. It annoys the hell out of me when I see people doing yoga in public at a park, like down in Venice.
Okay, so what do you think that's about? It doesn't affect you? They're not in your way? It shouldn't bother you? Why does it?
Because I feel like you're not really zen at all. In fact, you're hyper-focused on making me think that you're zen. And how, you know, into the universe you are, and how one you are, and om, om, om.
But isn't it possible that what they're doing out there at Venice has nothing to do with you? You haven't even crossed their mind. They're just doing it for themselves?
It could be possible, but I think if it doesn't have anything to do with the public, then why are you doing it in the public?
Because they want to be. I'm just playing devil's advocate here because I feel the same way you do, but maybe they feel like, hey, it's a beautiful day. Why not get some fresh air while I'm exercising?
I just hate them.
You hate it. Okay, fair enough. That's what we said. You know it's wrong, but you still hate. You can't stop yourself. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Ari. She is in Riverside, line 4, please, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show, 1-800-520-1067. Ari, what's the thing that people do that shouldn't affect you, but for whatever reason it drives you crazy?
when they're singing to the songs of a lyric in the car, I don't know why, but that just really irritates the crap out of me.
Wait,
Like, it's unreasonable. They're probably really happy to go to their way to work or something, but it just irritates the living crap out of me.
Wait, Ari, these aren't people in your car singing along. These are people in other cars?
In other cars, you can hear their stereo. And they're like, it's traffic. You know, on the 91, it's horrible, so we're at a stop, and so you can see everything somebody does next to your vehicle. So I'm just looking, and it just really irritates me. Like, pay attention to the road.
So what do you think that's about? Because they're just trying to make the best of a bad situation and enjoy themselves for that time they've got to be behind the wheel. Why do you think it gets you crazy?
You know what? I have to honestly think, and the same thing that you were saying earlier, it's like, you don't know why it bothers you, but I have to rationalize that maybe it's petty jealousy that they're happy going to work. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Maybe that's it. Very good. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Gina writes in, I get incredibly upset and angry when in shows or movies the characters leave a restaurant and they don't finish their drink. I get so mad. It ticks me off so much I actually yell. Well, I'm not sure that's the priority of the scene, but I see where you're coming. Again, it's crazy, but sometimes these things affect us. 1-800-520-1067. What's yours? What do you want to add to the conversation? We'll take your calls next on K-Rock. We're talking about, you know, it doesn't make any sense. It's indefensible, but something that somebody does drives you crazy and you don't know why. Allie, what are you hearing?
Colin on Twitter says, I hate it when people mix shoe brands like Vans with a Nike shirt. Stupid, stupid.
Okay, now why would that possibly affect Colin?
I don't know. I love it, but this one cracks me up. I think her name is Cherry. She says, suddenly salad enrages me. As if salad spontaneously occurs from nothing. Salad is a process, jackass.
All right. Okay.
Have you seen that, though? Suddenly salad. It's like Betty Crocker. Like if you add certain things to a salad.
Yes.
Suddenly salad.
Yes.
I'm with her.
That's funny. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Let's get through as many as we can. Jennifer, you hold on. We're going to get to you right after Phil. He's on line one, and he is in Stanton joining us on the Kevin and Bean Show. Phil, there's no reason for it, but it drives you crazy. What is it?
Yo, it's those freaking stick figure family stickers on the back windows of cars.
Now, what is it about that that bugs you? I mean, clearly they're doing it because they're just proud of their family and they like to, you know, like to decorate their car. How does it affect you?
It's not cute. It's not clever. I don't care if it's a stormtrooper. I don't care if it's a Disney figure. I don't care if it's a stick figure. It drives me absolutely insane. You're not clever. You're not cute. And get it off the goddamn window.
All right. Let it be written. Let it be done. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Long Beach. And Jennifer's up next. She's on line five. All right, Jennifer, what is it that drives you crazy?
Hi, good morning. The stick figure thing was really funny, actually. But do you ever see two girls get really overly excited when they see each other and hug each other when they're saying hello?
Like a scream and then an excited, like, run to each other and a bear hug?
Yes.
Yes.
The hug is the worst. It's so uncomfortable for me.
What's wrong with the hug? These are friends. These are clearly people that know and like each other.
Typically, it's not your friends. It's usually coworkers or someone you even typically see on a daily basis. You tend to see them at work events, and you just saw them the day before, and then they run up and hug you and scream like they've never seen you before. I see it happen all the time, and I just want to kind of push them apart.
What's the acceptable way to greet somebody that you're excited to see?
That I don't know.
Okay. All right.
Okay. Hello? Hey,
hello.
You?
Okay, that's fine. All right. Got it. You don't like it, and we'll allow it. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Agoura Hills Line 4. This is going to be Karen. She is adding to our list of things that for no reason drive people crazy. Hi, Karen. What's up?
It drives me crazy when people say, have a good one.
Have a good one. And that's, because, I mean, that's really friendly. That's them hoping you enjoy the rest of your day, right?
But it's not like, have a good what? Have a good day? Have a good night?
I think it's
and
just...
lots of times at stores, people say that. Instead of saying, thank you, they say, have a good one. It's like,
I feel like it's all-encompassing. Like, just have a good everything, Karen.
I think they mean well, Karen. I don't think they're trying to bring you down.
Oh, I know. I don't think they're trying to bring me down. It's just like an incomplete sentence.
I will say this. People that say it is what it is, I want them killed. I hate those people.
That's another one that bothers me because it doesn't mean anything.
Well, first of all, it is what it is.
No,
it's indisputable. 100% of the time, what it is what it is. All right. Thank you for the call, Care. Appreciate that. Let's go to Downey, please, line 8. And I want to say hi to Joseph up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Joseph, what's going on?
Hey, what's going on? I have neighbors who dress their kids identical, and they're 4 or 5 years apart.
Oh, no. That's... Like every day?
Every day.
Oh,
there's
no.
There's times that the dad dresses like them, and the saddest part is that the mother's pregnant, and I have the feeling the baby's going to do the same thing.
For sure.
Now, I wish Kevin were here today because he did raise twins who were not identical, and I wondered if that's just a normal thing you do when you have kids that are close to the same age.
They're not, though. They're 4 years apart.
Does it somehow make laundry easier, or what do you think the reason is for that?
I think it makes shopping easier for all three of them.
Right.
Shopping. Okay. But it drives you crazy, even though it really shouldn't affect you at all.
I hate it.
Bean, how would that make laundry easier?
I don't know.
It's the dumbest
thing ever. It doesn't matter whose clothes you put in which bedroom because they're all wearing the same thing.
They're not the same size.
Let's try Chris. You don't know, man. Let's try Chris, line 6. He's in Simi Valley. He's up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Chris, what's the thing that drives you crazy for no reason and doesn't affect you but does anyway?
Hey, party people. You know what drives me nuts is people that have these bumper stickers on their car. It'll say something like, my kid is an honor student at Glenwood Elementary, but it's crooked. They don't put it on straight. So how smart could your kid be if you can't even put a sticker on?
Maybe it skips a generation.
Right?
I don't
know. That could be it. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Long Beach Line 3. This is going to be Patrick. He's up next. Hey, Patrick, what is it that annoys you?
Hey, I really hate people that go jogging on traditional big eating holidays like Christmas and Thanksgiving. So you're standing at your window, you know, scooping in your third helping of potatoes, mashed potatoes and gravy, and some jackass just jogs by and you're like, ugh, really?
So he's the jackass for getting his health on Christmas because you want to eat a lot.
Come on, take a day off. I mean, that goes right hand in hand with those people that go jogging like in vacation destinations. Like you're just crawling in at 5 a.m. in Vegas and some guy's going like in his little jogging shorts running by all healthy. Like,
yeah, that's pretty gross.
Yeah.
I hear you on that one.
So you agree you're with Patrick on this
one? I think I might be.
How about the people who are out jogging when it's 150 degrees out? Same thing?
Yeah. But they have a death wish.
Just stop it. All right. Thank you for the call. Let me close with this one. This is from Facebook. Brian writes in, I hate people who breathe heavy into microphones. Wait a minute.
Oh.
Or who give bad Wait a minute. What? Hold on a sec. Those people are the worst, Brian says. How dare you? Ralph, what's your ruling on the stick figures on the back of automobile windshields? They bug you at all?
No. All the people are all awful.
Because nothing bothers Ralph.
They're all murdered.
That's true.
Not
Ralph's pretty even
healed. Inconsequential stuff.
Come on.
Think of it. What do I get upset about? Actual BS. I don't have a look at somebody's windshield, and that's not going to upset me. I got bigger fish to fry.
Okay.
Why does it make you furious, though, the windshields, those stickers?
I'm saying it doesn't.
Why does it make you so mad?
That was the other guy.
Why do you try to run those cars off the road just because they have stickers on their windshield?
Yeah, right.
Hey, Ralph's here. That means it's time for the Showbiz Beat here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Don't bring up Spinal Tap with Eddie Van Halen. I made that mistake once.
What?
Right?
The movie we're talking about or the medical procedure? I'm looking for clarification. What's the story?
Why would it ever be the medical procedure, Bean?
I don't know. I don't know what the story is. I am eager to hear more.
That's why you waited.
I'm punting. To the listener who sent the tweet out saying that the first show was beat... was a failed handoff.
Mm-hmm.
It got stuffed at the line. And then the second showbiz beat was a sack.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was 3rd and 16.
Uh-huh.
And this was my chance to redeem myself. I'm just punting. I'm punting on third down. Because
on third down?
You're not even going to play the down?
No.
Wow.
No. That's because it's a rigged system. It's a rigged game. Because the refs are against me and I can't. I just can't.
Right?
I don't feel well. I'm going to take the rest of the week, I think. I got that thing, whatever Chip has.
Uh-huh.
I got that.
Okay. You know,
and the thing Kevin has, too. I got both of them. All of it.
Let's restart. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Hey, what's going on with Eddie Van Halen?
Well, how do you know that? He hasn't started the Showbiz Beat.
I thought we were resetting.
And now here's Rob with the Showbiz Beat, and I have no idea what
he's
talking
about.
Can
I go call in about what annoys me? Is that, are the phone lines still
nothing.
Open?
Nothing. I hear nothing annoys you.
Oh, some not little things, but some big things. Some big things are really, really annoying. Some people should be put to death, is what I'm saying.
Thomas Dolby was hanging out with Eddie Van Halen at one point. He says in his new book, The Speed of Sound, Breaking the Barriers Between Music and Technology. And he gave a quote from Spinal Tap.
Okay.
As we do.
You know,
one of the most quotable movies ever made.
Right.
Sure. And I would imagine most musicians would love that movie.
Oh, you don't think they're talking about the medical procedure, Bean?
Well, you just said it was quotes from the movie, so.
So he said Eddie just gave him a blank stare. And Thomas Dolby asked Eddie if he had never seen the film Spinal Tap. And he said, yeah, dude, we saw that piece of S. We didn't think it was funny. It was like someone followed us around with a camera and put it up on the screen. Then everybody fell over laughing. Why? So apparently,
my God, he didn't get it.
Apparently he didn't get it because that is Van Halen's life right there up on the screen. That's how they behave. That's who they are.
Wow.
Wow.
Lack of self-awareness.
Wow.
That is stunning to me. And yet somehow completely believable. Especially from Thomas Dolby.
Blinded me with science. She blinded me with science.
It's Buzz Aldrin singing She Blinded Me with
Science.
It's
not good.
Silence, by the way, he says at one point. Speaking of being put down. Hey, I got so excited. Bradley Whitford.
Sure. I can see why.
I love Bradley Whitford.
Okay.
This is going to be awesome. He is going to guest on a TV show called Mom. Now, why is that important? Because who is the co-star of Mom along with Anna Faris?
His wife.
His West Wing co-star, Allison Janney.
Allison Janney.
They are not married in real life.
They're not married
at all
on television.
No, they sure aren't. They work together, though. The White House.
Holy crap! If anyone is within the sound of my voice, please send help.
I was picturing Jane Kaczmarek, and I don't even think they're married anymore.
Imagine how bad she smells, man.
So the two of them are reuniting from their West Wing days, which was a great show. If you've never seen it, it's all awesome, and it's good to have them back together.
I don't like it.
I'm sorry, Ralph.
I don't either.
So sorry.
Hey, I often mock horrible reality show ideas, and so I want to give props to a good one, I think. We'll have to wait and see, but this sounds fun. It's a show called The Toy Box. It's going to be on ABC, and it's going to be a competition reality show, which will bring in guys, people, women, children, who have an idea for a brand new toy. It'll feature the toy invention process. And these people will come in, they'll pitch their toys, they'll make a mock-up, I assume, and then they'll be judged by a panel of judges who are all kids!
I love it.
It's perfect! And then Mattel will take the winner, the winning toy, and actually develop it, produce it, and you'll be able to buy that toy after the finale of the series airs.
Wow.
Genius.
Yeah.
It'll be on the market. You see it that night, the next day it's on the market. You can go buy your kids the new Flam Jammer.
Don't let out your secrets.
Flam Jammer.
Yeah, save it
toy.
For the yep. show, Ralph.
I'm going to go. I'm going to pitch my Flam Jammer.
What would the Flam Jammer be?
I can't tell you because
just a
then
hint,
all the secrets will
just
come out.
Just a hint.
It involves a rod.
Oh.
That you put in your pajamas.
What?
It's the Flam Jammer.
Okay.
It's kind of like a pogo stick, but it's hands-free.
That does sound fun for kids.
It's a hands-free pogo stick that you can put in your pajamas.
All right.
That's going to be quite something to check out.
Yeah. Speaking of checking things out, Rodney, thanks for bringing that up. Friday night, we're back. Kevin Smith and I are returning with Hollywood Babylon on stage at the Improv on Melrose.
No.
It's been a while since we've gotten the band back together again. We'd love to have you come out and join us Friday night, 10 p.m., the Improv Comedy Club on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I, we're going to have a good time because it's been a while. We got a lot to catch on up to do. So go to improv.com for more details and get your tickets for Friday night's show. Today's celebrity birthdays, Hugh Jackman's 48 years old today, Kirk Cameron turns 46, and Josh Hutcherson from the Hunger Games series, he is 24 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
All right, thank you, Ralph. We are going to open up the phone lines right now for Kevin Bean's What's Good. You know, we had that listener who tried to tell us yesterday that What's Good has not been paying off, and I think he couldn't be more wrong.
I sent him a box of chocolate.
I think our listeners are coming through with fascinating, like yesterday,
and some Allie,
when you met that surgeon, the poop doctor, you were very interested in talking to her.
I had so many more questions for the butt doc. And
only there was some way you could handle that not in my ears.
But my point is, we wouldn't know about that if we didn't have this feature where people can call up.
I was desperate to know about Allie's poop.
I can tell you out there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So if you've got a topic that you think we should be discussing on the program, something you want us to know about, you've got comments, you've got questions, you've got complaints, we want to hear from you right now. Give us a call, 1-800-520-1067. It's your chance to be part of the show, Kevin Bean's What's Good, coming up next right after this on K-Rock. Going to be looking for your songs about Halloween or Not Scary Farm in about 20 minutes or so right here on K-Rock to win your way in front of the line. Get to all the mazes first. We'll tell you about that in a few minutes. First, though, it's time for Kevin Bean's What's Good, 1-800-520-1067. 067, your calls on any topic. Hit it, Steve.
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify. What are we missing and not talking about? Call up so we can be down. 1-800-520-1067. What's good?
What's good?
All right, I think we got a great call to get us started. Let's go to line two, please, Beer Mug, and say hi to Ashley. She is a taxi driver. Hey, Ashley, what's going on? What's good?
Good morning, everyone. How are you?
Great. We're
great. Thanks for joining us. Sounds like you've got a complaint, though.
I do. I mean, first of all, I have to say what's good is K-Rock, and that just keeps me going every day in this taxi.
Well, you're very kind. We very much appreciate you listening. Thank you.
Thank you, of course. And what bothers me is these stupid Uber stickers all over the place. Everywhere I look, it's an Uber car. It's ruining my life. Yes. As a licensed taxi driver with the Department of Transportation in all of the greater Los Angeles area, Uber concerns me because of their non-regulations, and they do not have those strict rules. I don't feel that the passenger is very safe.
All right, let me ask you this. I have a lot of thoughts on this, but you're far more qualified to speak to this subject than I am. Technology changes a lot of things. Record stores hated it when iTunes came along. People who used to put horseshoes on shoes hated it when cars were invented. I mean, we do move forward in a lot of different ways. Is it possible that this is just an evolution where people have come up with something that they think is easier and better and customers like better? So the old way of doing business is just going to fade away like it has in so many other industries.
I do. Well, I hope so. And I'm not really pushing for Uber to be gotten rid of, but I am pushing for the strict rules and regulations. This licensing is very, very important.
You'd like to see a level playing field where the Uber drivers have to go through the same rigmarole with the government that you do.
Thank you. Yes, exactly.
That makes sense.
I think that's legitimate. What do you think, Allie?
Absolutely.
Okay, great call. Thank you, Ashley. Appreciate that.
Accept you, Ashley.
Yes, we'll allow it. Mm-hmm. Let's try Charlie, Paramount Line 4, up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Charlie, thank you for calling. Thank you for holding. What's good?
Hey, guys. Big fan. Hey, Bean, Allie, what's up?
Hey.
I want to talk about the Tupac movie coming out, All Eyes on Me. I don't feel like it's getting enough attention, but it's super awesome. It looks great.
It does look great. Now, when does it come out?
I think... And sometime at the end of the year, I'm thinking November, I'm not sure.
Well, if it's coming out next month, you're right. It's not getting a lot of publicity because we should be seeing that everywhere. And Allie, do you know too much about this movie?
I don't.
This guy who's playing Tupac looks exactly like him.
Yeah, he does. He does. He really does.
It's creepy. Now, I don't know whether he's going to be lip syncing in the movie or if he's a guy who can also rap and he's going to do the material live on the movie screen or something like that. Mm-hmm. But it's certainly a fascinating story and certainly has the potential to be a great movie. I sure hope it is.
Yeah, and Michonne from Walking Dead is playing his mom.
Oh, that's mom. Cool.
That's really cool, too.
That's cool.
So,
all right.
I want to call in for that.
Appreciate
like it.
Go Dodgers. Go Dodgers.
Go Dodgers, amen. Indeed. Yeah, that was we were sweating that one yesterday. That seventh inning aged me like 20 years, I think. All right, let's go to Carlos Redlands, please. Line one up next on the Kevin Amin Show. Carlos, what's good, my friend?
Hey, what's good, guys?
You tell us.
I have a question for you guys. What's up with
not bringing back the wheel of bad animal voices.
It sucks.
Oh, here's Ralph Berman stepping in. Where's Ralph been?
Sucks, Carlos. Yeah. Come on, let's face it. It sucks.
It was really
you like it because it's
guys.
Awful
Come
and you
on.
Love to hear us suffer. That's why you like it.
Ralph, describe for the listeners what the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices is for folks who maybe haven't heard it.
Well, Kevin and Bean, for their entire careers, have been doing this awful bit where they would call as a phone number involved in a story, and then someone on the other end would pick up the phone, and it wouldn't be like a person. It would turn out to be a wacky animal that
That's
was somehow
crazy.
Involved in the story. So it's bad enough that that lives on. But
Carlos
what they would
is
do,
already laughing just at the description of the bit.
What they would do is take a bunch of these stories and then slap the animals up on a wheel, wheel of fortune, and they would spin the wheel, and it would land on an animal, and then that was the animal that they would talk to.
And what about this wasn't good?
It was invariably a horrible, horrible letdown. First of all, the setup would be awful because it would be like, I wonder who we're going to talk to. I don't know. I don't know which of the animals this will land on today. I hope it's the tiger. And like, you haven't spun yet, Kevin. It's like, oh, that's right. And spin it. It'd be the tiger. And then after all the setup, it would be some lame-ass story with a bad, bad payoff. And I just got too embarrassed.
Like, I
got
to say, embarrassed to participate. Between Ralph's description and Carlos's enthusiasm, I am ready to bring it back.
Yeah, what about one more chance?
How about the Wheel-O-Mug
what?
Bad Animals?
I don't
this
hate
way,
that.
I can still preserve a modicum of self-respect, and then you guys can get all the bad you want.
I don't hate that, but maybe just one more chance. Would you be willing to give it
one more chance?
One more chance! One more chance! One more chance!
Come on, Ralph. Let's do it tomorrow. Let's bring back the wheel for one more day tomorrow.
Ralphie, give it one more chance.
I was going to until you just did that. That was super annoying.
I just did Biggie right there.
Yeah, that was super annoying.
Sorry.
All right, one more chance. We'll do one more chance.
All right, Carlos, you have changed the course of human history with your call, sir. Well done. Thank you. Hey, Ralph, I'm glad you're in here. Line 6, I think, will be of interest to you. It's from Eastvale. This is going to be Greg. Say hi to Greg, please.
Hey, hello.
Hello.
Hey, what's up? What's good?
Hey, sweet. Oh, my God. I'm so glad Ralph is in the room, too. You're like my hero, man.
Oh, thanks, Greg. What's up?
I love Babylon, man. I need to get out there. But I don't know if you guys have talked about it yet. I know you've done a little web show with Jamie Keller.
Jamie Keller.
Such a great guy.
J.B. Kaler.
Dads in Parks.
Dads in Parks, yeah.
It's very hilarious. I know that you've been on a couple episodes of it, but I'm just a 25-year-old male with no children, but I still find them very, very funny, and I think the world needs to know about them.
Oh, that's cool to hear, Greg. Thanks, man.
What's the setup for Dads in Parks, and where can people see it, Rob?
Jamie Kaler is a longtime friend of mine who is a very funny stand-up, but he's also a brilliantly funny actor and improvisational actor. And Jamie, like myself, he's a relatively new dad. We're about the same age. And he got together with some friends to produce this web series, which is called Dads in Parks. It's Jamie and another comedian / actor friend of his who just sit on a park bench and they talk about being a dad. And they just riff and they cut it up into little vignettes. And they've made this web series, which I fell in love with when I first saw it. It's been on for a couple of years now. So Jamie asked me to come over and participate. And we sat down and we were able to get about 7 or 8 episodes out of the time we spent together. So if you get a chance, you can find it on YouTube. It's called Dads in Parks. And his name is Jamie Kaler. Kaler, but you should really check it out because some very, very funny people participate.
I have a little clip here.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I did not know that.
Here it is.
I mean, the reason you send them to expensive schools is because they pay better teachers and you want the best teachers.
But those expensive schools also have really rich kids with a lot of drugs.
Yes.
So what if that's the...
But they're the good drugs. The public schools have, like, the crappy drugs.
You know, I didn't even think about
that. So the kid's going to do drugs,
absolutely.
One way or the other.
My kid.
So what you want is the kid to have the best possible drugs. So you send him to the school with the high-grade heroin and coke and that kind of stuff. And then you leave the crack and things like that to the public school.
Public.
See? That's like good advice right there.
Great parenting advice from me and Jamie Kaler from Dads in Parks.
Because Jamie is one of the biggest Patriots fans that I know, that you guys are really good friends.
I have excused him that over
you
the
have.
Years.
Okay.
We didn't say he was perfect, Allie.
No.
He's
he was
perfect.
Funny.
He's perfect.
I love him so much that I'm willing to forgive all of his major flaws.
Okay.
Greg, that was a great call. Thanks for putting that on the radar.
Thank
and thanks to everybody who called. This has been What's Good?
What's Good?
Congratulations to Lucas Wasiak from Woodland Hills. Just won tickets to go see Green Day at the Palladium and also here at K-Rock in the Red Bull Sound Space. That is a pretty good 1-2 punch by America's favorite punk band. 1-800-520-1067 is the phone number. We're opening up the calls right now for you if you want to get in on these Not Scary Farm tickets. This is a pretty good deal. They call it the Fright Lane, which means you get to go to the front of the line for all the mazes. And there's no place like Not Scary Farm at Halloween
time.
The
best. So fun.
Didn't you go down there like every year when you were working for Channel 5?
Every single Halloween. They had one of the best PR groups down there, and we had a blast. And they, even at, you know, 5, 6 in the morning, scared the crap out of me at these mazes.
They're very good at that. So we've been telling you all morning, if you want to win these front-of-the-line passes, we need your songs. It can be a rap. It can be something you sing. It can be original. It can be a parody. Just something about Not Scary Farm, something about Halloween, something about why you want to win. We leave it pretty open for interpretation. Mm-hmm. Get on the air. Give us your song, and you could win the tickets for front-of-the-line for Not Scary Farm. Call now, 1-800-520-1067. Update. Ralph was talking earlier in the Showbiz Beat about the clown sightings that are happening not just in America now, but all over the world.
Yeah, Australia, New Zealand, it's taken over.
And I was wondering out loud if that has impacted in any way the Insane Clown Posse. I don't have the answer to that yet.
Nope.
But I do know that Ronald McDonald is being rested right now.
Rested?
Ronald McDonald, the iconic clown mascot of the McDonald's restaurant chain, has been basically put on leave. He is laying low until the clown craze in the country dies down, the fast food giant said on Tuesday. So we won't be seeing him in any commercials. We won't be seeing him making personal appearances or anything like that. I think it's just the clowns are just too hot right now, too scary right now for most people.
Too hot.
You don't want to put Ronald McDonald out there. So what's that like for a great American like Ronald McDonald, who has just been doing his civic duty and getting out there and meeting the kids and getting people to eat hamburgers for all these decades?
Doing so much for the community.
Right. What's up with Ronald McDonald? So we asked Dave if there's any way, I know he's in hiding, but if there's any way he could get him on the phone, we'd love to get an update from Mr. McDonald. I believe he joins us on the phone right now. Hey, Ronald.
Hey.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What's up?
Well, we're a little nervous when we saw the news that McDonald's basically has told you to go away till further notice.
Yeah.
Oh, you sound so bummed.
Well, how would you feel? I've been putting my life on the line out there since 1963 for these people.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And because of some from jackhole clowns who are out there,
right.
Some amateurs out there screwing around,
then
now my ass is put out the pasture. Now I'm in the clown relocation program.
There's a clown relocation program?
Yeah.
Hold on.
Yeah. All I know is I got called in the Mayor McCheese office.
Oh, no.
And he said,
and that's never good, right?
No. I'm thinking, what now? What did I do? Did I break some law? Do I have outstanding parking tickets or something?
Sure.
And so I get called into Mayor McCheese's office. Who's laughing back there?
That's beer money.
You think this is funny?
Sorry, Ronald. It's not funny. It's a serious situation.
You're damn right it is.
All right. So Mayor McCheese says
Ronald? So McCheese pulls me in and he says, listen, it's nothing personal, but with all this stuff going on with these clowns and people are afraid in the woods and stuff, we're going to have to retire you for a little bit. And, don't worry about it. You'll be back. You'll be back. And, but you gotta cool things off a little bit. So.
Okay.
He takes my gun and my badge, and then...
Why do you have a gun and a badge?
Yeah, how tough the streets of McDonald Land are.
I mean, that Hamburglar running around.
You ever faced the Griddler?
Well,
You ever faced Captain Crook trying to steal all this filet of fishes?
I really haven't.
No. So then, let you pipe down. I'm telling a story.
Okay, sorry.
All right, sorry.
Hey, Grimace, can I get another Shamrock Shake down here, please? So anyway,
you still have access to McDonald's, at least.
Grimace plays the bartender at this joint. That's where they sent me.
Okay.
Place in Florida. God, it's awful down here.
Well, you shouldn't say where you are.
Yeah, you want to stay
Ronald.
Safe.
It's a big state. Don't worry about
it. Good point. Okay, what else is happening?
Damn it, you're annoying, lady.
Sorry.
You're like Birdie the early bird. Remember her?
I'm sorry.
The worst.
So there have been a lot of McDonald Land characters over the years that I guess I don't remember, it sounds like. But you're the OG. I mean, you're the best. Ronald?
Come on, Ronald.
I'm sad. I'm sad for you. You're right. It's not your fault.
I'm so glad I'm out of this.
Really?
Yeah.
Don't you miss it? Don't you miss the kids?
I don't talk to a-holes like you anymore in the ball pit.
Come on.
The pulpit.
Oh, I'd like to choke you with a McNugget right about now.
Who dares to enter the house of Hearts?
There it is. Kevin Bean Lister, when he was 10, his Halloween smash, Two Eyeballs, back on K-Rock. I like it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like it could be a better recording. I'm not saying it's the best fidelity ever in a song.
You sure?
But I do like it.
Two Eyeballs.
Eyeballs, always eyeballs. This will get us into your phone calls at 1-800-520-1067. We're going to be giving away tickets for you for the Fright Lane passes to Not Scary Farm. This is a great opportunity, by the way. It's unlimited priority access to all 9 mazes at Not Scary Farm. And all we ask you to do is come up with a song, either a parody or an original. You can sing it, you can rap it, and get on the air, give us your song, and you could win your tickets for Not Scary Farm. 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Greg? He's in Valencia to get us going. He's on line 4. Up first on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hey, Greg.
How you doing?
Happy Halloween, my friend. We are in the spirit. We are ready for your song. What are you going to be doing for us?
Oh, I'm going to sing a song. I hope you guys aren't tired of this one.
Oh.
I'll put a little twist.
Now I'm intrigued. Let's hear it.
All right. Here we go. It's getting spooky. Día de los Muertos, Día de los Muertos, Día de los Muertos. Uncle Creepy's victims are going to be their napping. Ooh-ah, ooh-ah, ooh-ah. Uncle Creepy behind the window. Uncle Creepy pooping behind a tree.
Oh, I don't know that.
I wish the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me. Uncle Creepy, now I'm a widow.
Okay, look, just because Kevin is not here today doesn't mean you have to call him Uncle Creepy. I'm
sorry.
You
murdered his wife.
You did, and you killed his wife. Greg, I'm going to say, well done, sir. How would you like some tickets for Not Scary Farm?
I would love to take my kids there.
Fantastic. Have a great time, sir. Thank you so much for calling. Let's go to Denise. She's in Long Beach. She's up next, line 6, please, on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hey, Denise, thanks for calling. What do you got for us here today?
Hi. I have just a little ditty for you. I'm gonna wrap it for you.
Love it.
Oh.
Ready?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Halloween will soon be here, so keep your kitty very near. The clowns are out and ready to scare. They'll scratch your eyes and pull your hair. So trick or treat if you dare.
You ran out of time on that. That wasn't meant to be the end, right?
Yeah, I didn't know I had to come up with a song, so I truly came up with that on the fly.
Look
at that.
I mean, she freestyled that, y'all.
All right. I will allow it, ladies
Denise.
And gentlemen. You got your tickets, Denise. Thank you for the call.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much.
That's very impressive. All right. Let's go to Marcus, please. Riverside, line 3. He joins us on the Kevin DeMeade Show. Hey, Marcus, we're playing for Not Scary Farm tickets, front of line passes. What do you got?
I got a little rendition of some DMX for you guys.
All right. Let's hear it.
Stop. Drop. Give me some tickets to Knots. Oh, no. Catch me ghost riding. Oh, monster's going to die. What? Baby's going to cry.
What?
They don't feel no pain. This is not a game. Zombies can't contain their cravings for your brains. So, Bean, you might be safe. I'll take Ellie as my date. I promise to be a gentleman and stop at second base. Stop. Drop. I need tickets to Knots.
Oh.
Ladies and gentlemen. Not only did he bring the DMX, he also managed to insult me and ask Allie out on a date.
I didn't hate it.
I think you checked all the boxes on that one, Marcus. Well done, my friend. You're going.
Cool. Thanks, guys.
Well done.
All right. 3 for 3. This is a great batch here. Yeah. Let's try. Give me some Twan, please, in Bell Line 2. Twan, a lot of competition out there from your fellow listeners. Let's hear you sing your way in the Not Scary Farm. What are you going to be doing for us?
I'm going to do sort of like a poem, like a rap.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, it's called Kevin and Bean Are Dead, Let Us Pray. Okay, ready?
Yes, I guess so.
Told you once, told you twice, I told you 66. Preaching and Rick, Kevin and Bean, that's the mic.
All right, I think he's talking into the wrong end of the phone.
Yeah, sounds like. Twan.
Hey, Twan, just turn the device the
Twan,
other way.
If you could just flip it over, smack it up, flip it, rub it down, something.
Right, then your Twan. Mouth goes into the part where the speaker is and the microphone is.
Hey, Twan, I mean, this could be great.
I bet it is. I bet the people who are in the car with him are loving it, but not giving us much.
Yes.
All right. We're going to just assume. We'll just put Twan back on hold. If we have time, maybe we'll go back to him. Let's try Melanie Van Nuys, please, line 8. I feel bad. It sounds like you put a lot of effort into it.
I feel like, let's get to Melanie and then go back to Twan.
Okay. All right, Melanie, you're up. What are you going to do for us here?
Okay. You ready?
I am.
All right. Let's go to Scary Farm, to get our scare on. I went when I was 13, and now I'm almost 31. My husband thinks he's tough and that he can take it, but in his own mind, I think he's chicken.
Fantastic, Melanie. Well done. Enjoy Not Scary Farm. All right, let's go back to Twan, and then we'll wrap it up. Twan, I apologize, man. We couldn't hear any of that because you had the phone upside down or something.
Yeah, I had it too close.
Is that what it was?
Or too far.
Yeah. However you're talking into it now is perfect. Can we hear your rap again?
Yes, for sure. Check it out.
All right.
Told you once, told you twice, I told you 666. Reach in and rip Kevin and Bean's guts out like horror flicks. This looks like the work of a mastermind who crept up from behind to leave Kevin and Bean blind from the fear. You're in the trunk, ready to disappear from the earth. Now tell me, Kevin and Bean, what the hell is your life worth when you're dead? The maggots are crawling into your head. Heard what I said? I set the microphone ablaze and I spit fire. I think it's time for Kevin and Bean to retire, and the darkness that consumes the light will inspire.
Okay. Wow, that got very dark.
I am terrified.
That got very dark. All right, Twan, if you promise to never call again, we'll give you Fright Lane passes for Not Scary Farm, okay?
Thank you very much.
All right, man. Have a great time. Thanks for calling. It's called the Carolina Reaper Madness Chip, and it is literally the hottest chip in the world. Only one chip per package. It's sold in a coffin-shaped box. Beer Mug is going to eat one coming up right after the top of the hour.
Why do people... Why is there...
Go on.
Is there a market for dumbasses? Mm-hmm. For dumbasses making chips you can't eat, and dumbasses buying chips in a coffin box that is, at the very least, not pleasant,
not tasty,
mm-mm. Not a good eating experience.
No.
Well,
why is the world filled with dumbasses?
Ask the dumbass who's going to eat it in 10 minutes.
Hey, Mugs, dumbass!
Yes.
What's the draw here?
Eat the hot chip that will not be a pleasant experience for you at all.
It won't be pleasant at all. But I just want to see. I want to test the heat level. I want to because I do.
I can tell you what the heat level is
for your journal for a chip monthly.
Yeah, just I'm living life
for your periodical that you put together, a Chip Munchers Daily.
Pure curiosity.
Your life is so empty, so devoid of interesting, important things to do that you can fulfill your curiosity of how hot is this dumbass chip?
Yes.
Mugs, I can tell you how hot it is. It's the hottest chip in the world.
We'll see about that.
Okay. By the way, we're going to be Facebook Living this. If you don't just want to listen, you want to watch Beer Mug eat the hottest chip in the world.
Because the dumbass audience needs the dumbass chip than the dumbass eating it.
I want to see it. Don't you want to see it?
Oh, for F's sake.
That's coming up next here on K-Rock. First, Ralph's got the showbiz beat on a Wednesday. What's going on?
Well, things are going on, I'll tell you that much. Like Billy Bush getting the boot from NBC. Mm. We talked yesterday about whether his suspension meant he would not be returning to the network, and it looks like, indeed, there is negotiations going on as we speak that will lead to his exit from the network. He's been with them since, of course, Access Hollywood, and then he did that awful Access Live show. Did you ever see that one where he sits down and talks to people?
Not great.
And then... Today Show, he was sent there during the Olympics, and it looked like they were grooming him for bigger things, but now it looks like they're grooming him for the door.
I think our little friend Carson Daly has been taking over that slot.
Well, as well he should have from the first.
Yeah,
Carson should have been first in line.
He's a quality stand-up guy.
Absolutely, and a great broadcaster. Billy Bush is none of these things.
No one knows Carson's racist or that thing with the baby.
Because
no
he's
one
not, and there is no thing.
Oh, okay. Then he's squeaky clean.
Ugh. I've heard that Billy Bush is trying to extricate more money out of NBC for this deal, saying he is threatening to say that I've said lots of awful, sexist things.
And you never cared.
Oh, no!
His defense, that's his defense!
His defense is literally, I've always been awful.
Oh.
And
wow.
You never said anything now, so why now? And then he's going to, make some sort of legal claim.
Wow.
That's interesting.
I will say, I'm sure there's a morals clause, all of that at NBC. I'm sure there was a morals clause back then when he had it. He's going to get so much money just to leave.
That's the problem.
It's insane.
He's going to be rewarded.
Yes.
Instead of fired.
Yes.
Which is what he should be.
But like you pointed out earlier, Ralph, even if he gets a big payday now, at some point that money's going to run out, right? And if
right.
He can't, if he's unemployable again, if this impacts him to the point where he can't get another broadcast job.
Because we have long memories here in America.
No, well,
we don't forget.
I heard his next big deal is he's going to start eating hot chips live on Facebook.
Wow.
So people start tuning in to watch.
He's exciting.
Running in on my game.
Has gotten bad for Billy Bush.
He's going to start working the hot chip circuit.
Melania said this was okay.
I just got off the
Bushy, Bushy.
There we go. Excellent.
How about a hug for Bushy? Huh?
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Right? I know you feel, Bob. Bella Thorne has a new boyfriend. A fellow named Tyler Posey.
Oh.
Tyler's a friend of mine. We did a movie together called Yoga Hosers.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very funny in that film, and we did a bunch of stuff when we were at the Sundance Film Festival and promoting the film. And you know him from Teen Wolf, of course, also, but just could not be a nicer guy. And now there's a whole bunch of photographs online of Bella Thorne and her new boyfriend, Tyler Posey, being very sort of friendly with each other. She's straddling him, and there's sexy time, and
sure.
I couldn't be happier for Tyler Posey. So good for you, Tyler Posey. You've got Bella Thorne. She's beautiful.
Yes.
And good talented.
Deal. Good deal.
But I would never take advantage of her without her consent.
Right. Well.
I'm trying to make that distinction clear.
Yes.
Because I'm getting a lot of backlash. Emails and stuff saying, you say awful things about women all the time, and you're awful, and you make all those jokes, and you're awful. Yes. But I never joke about taking advantage of a woman without her her consent.
Sure.
And secondly, I'm not running for president.
You aren't.
That's the rub.
Huh.
And by rub, I mean...
What do you mean,
I
Ralph?
Just mean that's...
What do you mean?
That's the catch there, not that I would rub up against anyone inappropriately, ever.
Imagine how bad she smells, man.
That is not helping. Today's celebrity birthday is Hugh Jackman is 48 years old today.
He's committed to Satan.
No, he's not. He's the Wolverine. Damn it. He's Logan. Actor Kirk Cameron is 46.
The guy's on fire with sniveling evil.
Well, that is true. That is absolutely true. And Josh Hutcherson from the...
Oh, I hate that guy right there.
Oh, come on. He's from the Hunger Games.
He loves betraying people. He gets off on it.
No, he doesn't, Alex. He's a talented, handsome young man.
I can't judge him. Only God can do that. But he is a perfect case point example of what we don't want to be.
I beg to differ. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. It's almost time, you guys. Here's the... this is not for me, Ellie. Is this for you?
Not even a little bit.
Okay. Mugs, it's for you, though?
Yeah, sure. Why not?
Okay. Here's the headline. Spiciest tortilla chip in the world is sold one chip per package. In case you're wondering, by the way, why Pocky only sells one chip per package, it's because that's all you need. It's the hottest chip you'll ever have. I guarantee you that, says the manager. After you eat that one chip, trust me, you're not going to look to dig back into the bag and have a second one. So one chip is what we have created to have the experience. This is the thing that has been going around called the One Chip Challenge. People are eating this. It's got the Carolina Reaper pepper in it, which has been certified by the Guinness Book of World Records as the hottest chili pepper on earth. Now, Muggs, you seem to know something about spicy food. You seem to enjoy spicy food.
I do enjoy spicy food to a certain point. You know, I got your Tapatio hot sauces. I like the Del Inferno hot sauce at Del Taco. I do enjoy spicy foods. I've had stuff called Dave's Insanity sauce, which looks like it's blood red, and that's painful.
That burns.
It burns, and I'm not looking forward to this at all because the ghost pepper or the Reaper, whatever it's called, is hot. And this is going to suck. So,
oh, you're saying this pepper is hot?
Yeah.
That's the conclusion you've come to.
Yeah. It's going to suck.
It's the Guinness World Record holder for the hottest chili pepper on earth.
Can I read you that? First of all, it comes in a coffin.
Okay. That's right. That's right.
And
it does.
On the
and
back,
by the way, you can see this on Facebook Live at the K-Rock Facebook page if you want to watch it in addition to listen. Go ahead.
In the back, it gives you a little disclaimer. It says, do not eat if you are sensitive to spicy foods, allergic to peppers, nightshades, or capsaicin, or are pregnant or have any medical condition. Keep out of reach of children. After touching the chip, wash your hands with soap and do not touch your eyes or other sensitive areas.
After touching the chip, yeah. You have to wash your hands.
Yeah.
I guess that's because they're afraid then you'll put your hand in your, you know, your fingers in your eyes, mm-hmm. or something like that. I can imagine there'd be some real pain involved there.
Yep.
I mentioned that there is a social media challenge, the hashtag one chip challenge. And I think we have just a quick montage of others who have come before you who have tried the Pocky one chip challenge.
I'm going to do the Pocky one chip challenge.
Get warm. Oh, my God.
Oh, holy shit.
Oh, my God.
There it is.
Oh, my gosh. But, oh.
Don't let it touch your tongue.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. That's hot.
I feel like my tongue is this big.
You are crying.
Yeah.
Don't let it touch your tongue.
Yeah, what
that's,
about that?
That's good advice.
How is that even possible?
I do feel like, yeah, when you're eating, I think that's kind of part of the experience, yeah. Isn't it? I think.
Yeah. Hmm.
So Muggs, why'd you decide you wanted to do this? It's not like we came to you and said you have to or even asked you to. Why'd you volunteer for the One Chip Challenge?
Because I thought it would be a good idea.
Now, don't make it sound like we're putting words in your mouth. This is all on you, son.
Hey, man, I care about my job. I care about a good radio show, and I thought it would be a great radio show.
Okay.
All right.
So any precautions that you're taking?
Yeah, I have some milk on hand. To ease the burn.
All right.
Which, mm-hmm. You know, is a good remedy for that.
Okay.
So I'm probably going to need a trash can. Christine, if you can bring the trash can over, because I am probably... No? I won't need it? How do you know? Dave has had the chip?
Dave is shaking his head saying no, you won't need it.
We'll see.
You don't think it's a vomit thing?
I don't know. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Okay. Hey, Dave, let me do... If you can jump on the mic, let me ask before Muggs eats this. To successfully complete the one chip challenge, does he have to eat the whole chip or does he just have to eat a bite or two?
No, he has to eat the whole chip.
Got to eat the whole chip.
Yeah, okay. All at once. Just crunch, crunch.
I heard he has to eat 10.
Omar.
If you really want to be the winner, you'll do two or three. But, you know, one chip is their challenge.
Mm-hmm. All right.
But our challenge is three. So that's okay.
Any other questions for Beer Mug or IP?
Hey, Beer Mug, so after you touch the chip, what they suggest is you touch your eyes.
Touch
so,
your eyes.
No, touch your eyes.
Your eyes.
So that way, the tears, if tears come out, they get blocked and it won't, and you won't look like a wuss.
Okay, so I'll touch Dave's eyes.
Just touch your eyes after you touch a chip. And maybe your junk, too.
All right,
touch your junk.
Yeah, yeah.
I hope you've had the time to get to the K-Rock Facebook page for Facebook Live. It is time. Hit it, Steve.
Beer Mug's One Chip Challenge.
All right, open up that
chip. So I'm going to open up the gold package. They sent it in a separate package. You could put it in the coffin, but they sealed it up in this gold package here. Opening it up.
Beer Mug's One Chip Challenge.
Should I take a smell of it first?
Sure. Yeah. Let us know what it
smells hot.
All right.
Let me.
How's it feel to the hands?
Oh, I haven't touched the chip yet, so I'm just touching the wrapper.
Beer Mug's One Chip Challenge. Oh, yeah.
All right, so here it is.
Okay. Beer Mug's One Chip Challenge.
It's so much smaller than I thought it would be. I mean, it literally is it's the size of a good-sized potato chip, really.
Yeah, and it's covered in Carolina Reaper pepper. So this is going to suck. You guys ready?
Beer Mug's One Chip Challenge. Right.
Here we go.
Allie is... This is a pucker, isn't it?
My butthole is so puckered right now for you.
Say that again. Hey, Muggs, now before you put it in your mouth, is your plan to try to eat as fast as possible, or are you going to nibble, or are you going to take how many bites to eat that chip, do you think?
One bite, and it's going down.
Oh, you're going to put the whole thing in your mouth and just chew it and swallow.
Oh, my God. It smells hot. It smells hot. That's
all right. What are we doing again here?
What are we doing, Omar?
Beer Mug's One Chip Challenge!
All right, good luck, Beer Mug.
All right, here we go.
Okay, he's chewing. Things looking good. All right, still chewing.
It's not looking good. He's still Beer Mug.
He's not shaking or anything.
Wow. Beer Mug's One Chip Challenge!
It's not even affecting us.
Compared to other people I've seen online try this, they're freaking out at this point.
Okay, wait, hold on.
I'm very disappointed.
His face is getting pretty red, though.
Yeah.
That's whatever.
Are you kidding me?
What?
After all that?
I've had hotter stuff.
It's the hottest pepper in the world!
Yeah, it's...
Maybe it's a slow burn. Maybe it takes a minute.
Are you kidding me? That wasn't painful to eat?
It's hot.
One more chip!
It's hot. My mouth is burning, but It's not as intense. Okay, now it's kicking up.
Okay, we're starting to feel a little bit now. Because I noticed you haven't even gone for your milk or anything like that.
Oh, no, I'm going for my milk right now.
Not yet. Your eyes are watering. Sure.
My mouth is sweating. Okay, yeah, it's kicking up
now.
Now you're feeling it. Okay.
Sweating.
His mouth is sweating.
All right.
So it takes a minute to kick in then.
Yeah.
Beer mugs, one chip challenge.
It's hot.
How does Johnny Chicago feel about it?
Yeah, this is a great pepper. I can't even do it. I can't even move my tongue now.
By the way, who's impressed with the level of success that Beer Mug just showed us on this challenge?
It's hot, though. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to drink the milk now because it's kicking.
Hey, I have a question.
Yeah. What's your question?
So how hot is it, though? Like, really, how hot?
Like, describe it.
What does it feel like?
Yeah.
It feels like my tongue's on fire.
Uh-huh.
But like fire, like the flames are on it, or like fire, like
fire.
Like my tongue has been laying in the sun for about an hour. I gotta drink milk.
No.
Well, we're so used to Beer Mug failing that I almost don't know how to react when I see him succeed like this. Mm-hmm. But ladies and gentlemen, that is Beer Mug. That was
no tears, man. No nothing.
It was hot. Don't get me wrong.
That was impressive.
Still hot.
All right, we got to find something hotter for next time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do.
This has been
Beer Mugs One Chip Challenge. Good job, Omar.
Our own Beer Mug took the Pocky One Chip Challenge about 10 minutes ago. We put it through on Facebook Live, so I guess that video will be up for you to watch. And he handled it like a champ.
Yeah.
But then in the minutes afterwards, Mugs, it seems like it's getting worse for you.
Yeah. I got a little cocky. Didn't really expect it to really kick in like it did. I had to... pretty much finished one quart of milk.
Oh, wow.
And an entire English muffin to subside the pain that was on my tongue and in my throat. Anybody
How's
got
tongue,
bread?
Is how's what your he tongue yelled. Feeling right now?
It feels like it's been through on put placed on a barbecue.
Oh, okay.
Grilled. Yeah.
Now, Allie, you came up with a great question that didn't even occur to me. It's not like Muggs' misery ends this morning, right?
Yeah, he's got to poop at some point, mm-hmm. right?
Dude.
That's going to be fire coming out of your...
Are you going to be going through this whole thing again on the other end, Mugs?
I God hope not.
Oh.
Well, anyway, check the K-Rock Facebook page if you want to see the video of Mugs just owning that chip and successfully completing the one chip challenge. Well done.
Than I've ever been
blank.
I was reading the other day. There's a guy on the radio... who apparently Trump's on his show frequently. He said, me and Hillary are demons. Said we smell like sulfur. Ain't that something?
And then the president leans down and sniffs his own hand to see if he smells like sulfur. So we're now in a world where the president is addressing what Alex Jones from InfoWars is suggesting. That happened.
Well, he wouldn't smell it because he's around it all the time. You get nose blind to it so he wouldn't know if he smells like sulfur or not.
All right.
What you have to do is you have to invite someone from the audience up on stage to smell your hand when you're the president to make sure that you're fit to run the country.
Okay,
because one of the people who are running for president asked someone to come up on stage and touch his hair.
Right.
That's right.
So we're really, you know, now we know the true way to vet a responsible leader is by smelling and hair touching.
So Barack Hussein Obama is just perpetuating the myth when he's up there claiming he doesn't smell like sulfur because he's not from hell.
Right.
Okay.
I don't smell anything on my own hand. How would I know? Because I'm around it all the time. I smell it all the time.
That's right.
That's pretty smart of him.
Okay.
See how he does?
Right.
Thanks, Obama.
9:39, Wednesday morning. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat here on the show. What's going on?
Speaking of politics and show business, even though... producer Mark Burnett claims he cannot release any tapes from The Apprentice that may contain outtakes and inappropriate behavior from presidential candidate Donald J. Trump. That doesn't stop people from connected to the show coming out and talking about it.
Because there would have been a lot of people there.
Right.
A lot of lighting and camera. Yeah,
a lot of eyewitness accounts for what happened, and they're starting to pour in. Season 4 winner Randall Pinkett. You remember Randall Pinkett from season 4?
Yeah.
Oh, Randy.
Doing great stuff now.
He was the man. He tells The Hollywood Reporter that Trump would often quiz him in front of the other contestants about which of his fellow female contestants he would F. Would you F her? Would you F her? He would just go through and ask him which ones he would bang.
Super respectful.
Johnny Patillo. Remember Johnny Patillo?
One of
the producers on the show. He was a producer on the show.
Oh.
Did a Facebook post over the weekend recounting Trump's objectification of his own wife's appearance, of Johnny's wife, the producer. Trump would go off talking about her appearance to him. My sweet wife is sickened to this day by the sight of him, he writes. Season 1 and Season 2 producer Bill Pruitt sent out a tweet Saturday saying, I assure you, when it comes to the Trump tapes, there are far worse regarding his work on The Apprentice. So these are just some of the people who were actually there saying that it wasn't just an 11-year-ago thing, apparently.
Yeah.
There was some more recent behaviors that would be
I don't think we're learning anything new about Donald Trump that we didn't already know over the past year and a half, are we?
Now, here's Bean with the defense.
No, I'm not defending him. I'm just saying it's just continued evidence of the same thing we already know about him, which is that he's, you know, misogynistic pig.
Or is he?
I'm saying yes. All this evidence suggests that, yes, he is.
I'm saying, does he smell like sulfur?
Well, that's a...
I would say no. He probably smells like Tic Tacs.
Probably so.
I'm Donald Trump, and I approve this message.
You think the minty ones or the orange ones? Which do you think he goes to?
I feel like he'd have to go minty just so he smelled fresher.
Right.
But orange ones are tastier.
But orange.
Oh, he is orange.
He loves the orange.
That's a good point.
Right?
Poor Tic Tacs.
Nobody has more respect for women than I do.
That is true. Oh, Ryan Lochte. Look, sure, he seems like a simpleton.
Mm-hmm.
But he seems nice enough. Did you hear how he proposed to his playmate girlfriend?
On a mountain or something, right?
Took a helicopter ride up the California coast.
Okay.
And when they landed, along the beach, he had a picnic with roses and champagne set up.
That's nice.
Where they landed, and then he popped the question. And he said he was extremely nervous. He just finally blurted out, will you marry me? And I got robbed, he said, too. He was
so nervous. What a weird time.
Couldn't help himself. He just went, just a reset, just fall, like a default position kind of thing. But he says, now his life is complete because she said yes. So
I have a question for you, the girl.
My name is Allie.
It's Allie. Yeah. Allie, by the way, is her name.
You have a... lot of friends who have been proposed to and have gotten married. You wouldn't know, but you have friends.
I've been proposed to. Thank you for
inquiring. Oh, snap!
Is when somebody does the champagne and the rose petals and things like
that. Listen to the disdain in Bean's voice already before he even gets to his point.
You don't even know what the question is.
Someone does that with the champagne and the flower petals.
Are those trappings at this point in the 21st century? Are they still effective? Do they still heighten the mood? Does a lady still want that? Or is it so played out and so boring and everybody does it that it's meaningless at
this
point?
I think any thought that a man or woman puts into making it a very memorable event is beautiful.
What else do you need on top of the centerpiece of the event, which is, will you marry me? It seems like that's so far. That obviously is the commitment that makes the whole thing spin. It makes everything special. That's what's memorable about it. The fact that there's a bottle of champagne or a rose petal, I don't see how that adds a half of 1% to the evening.
What you're saying
is...
Not a half of 1%.
Just text me and send me the ring via FedEx.
What he's saying is, I didn't have anything when I did it.
That's what he's saying.
Is that still okay?
No one should. It's pointless.
I'm just asking. Look, the helicopter, maybe the helicopter, that was good. Maybe that was fun. Maybe the lady was super impressed by that. I just, when you got to the part of the story about the picnic and the roses and the champagne, I just thought that, again... I just wondered if it means anything to anyone anymore.
I suck so bad.
You know?
Wait, did I just say that?
You did.
You know, Pinocchio, someday when you're a real boy, you'll understand how people feel and how feelings matter. Yeah. And how sometimes just a little extra effort means a lot. Above and beyond, thought about the main core of the event. Yeah, sure, that's
extra
important.
Extra effort. You're proposing marriage. You're saying, I love you and I want to spend the rest of my life.
It's one of the most important moments in a couple's life. And
That's what I'm saying. So put the focus on the proposal.
So it's there. The focus is on the proposal, but also to have some memorable details surrounding
I don't like it.
Absolutely enhance the experience.
Because everyone's going to say, oh, how do you propose? Well, that doesn't matter. It was about the proposal. Nobody ever says
that. What's the core? What was the core event like? That's all I care about.
Come on.
One half of 1%.
I think if we threw this out to the ladies, they'd be on my side.
Oh, my God. You're
I do.
You Look. Are so far removed from the human experience.
Well, he's no very accessible. He said that earlier.
People come up to me all the time and say how accessible I am. No it's one... like a fine restaurant. You can have a steak on a paper plate slapped down to you at your desk at work.
Yeah.
Or you can go to a restaurant, have the same exact steak with candlelight in fine ambiance. With
a violin player.
With great service that provides you. What is the better meal there? If the steak is exactly the same, what's the better meal experience?
That was great, Ralph.
Thank you.
Look, I
sometimes
feel
life
like...
is more than just the core. Sometimes it's about the details.
You know I don't eat meat.
I don't even see your point.
She's doing it.
I would just have some creamed corn. But it doesn't matter how I eat that.
That's not cream corn.
We're almost out of time here.
I'm out of time right now.
Let's table this for another time. I'm just saying, congratulations to Ryan.
That's not what you're saying. That's exactly what you were saying.
And well done. Excellent proposal, young man.
Don't bogart that joint.
I don't think we're there
friend.
Yet. I don't think that's where we're at.
I'm Ralph Garman. I love the show.
Oh, that's it? You're seriously done?
Oh, I'm so
really
done.
Just lost.
I'm so completely done.
Hey, on your drive home today, why don't you do me this favor and listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour? It's a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers. We got a great show planned for you tomorrow. Jim Rome is going to be here talking sports.
That's right.
That's right. Dr. Drew Pinsky, and I'm so glad we're having the doctor on tomorrow because, and this may be too much beer mug because we just did the pepper challenge.
Never here. Enough.
Beer Mug has made a decision. Ralph, you know what I'm talking about. You heard it in the room last week.
Yes.
Beer Mug has made a decision that might kill him.
Yes.
But he's still going through with it because of pride.
Right.
What?
And because of fear. Because of fear more than pride.
Pride and fear, yes.
That's what kills men.
Pride and fear.
We will talk to Dr. Pinsky.
Mostly chips. And mostly pepper chips.
Mostly pepper chips.
Yes.
What's the deal with the new PlayStation VR? You know, I am all in. I think virtual reality is the best reality.
Yes.
Our friend Ashley Escada is going to be here from CNET to tell us all about that. And we got more Fright Lane passes for you. That's front of the line passes for all the great mazes at Not Scary Farm that you can win. That's all tomorrow morning for a Thursday right here on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock.